tires, because I am sure hungry for one.
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
It's
your cool hill man.
The Greg Hill Show.
We're up and at it, Greg. Don't worry about that.
Tick, tick, boom.
Starring the biggest foodie on the planet.
To me, food is the most important thing.
White bread is succulent.
Greg Hill.
Guys, Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox. Hi. Morning. Morning, Craig.
Good morning.
Featuring the parlay playboy himself.
This tickles my fanny. Does that map make math? I did not know that.
Wiggy.
So I don't think fans were mad. I think most fans
what?
Fans were
mad.
Wiggy, what are you talking about?
I think most fans were like Curtis. They expect that they weren't going to do anything.
You know this girl don't put out. And when she doesn't put out, you're not going to be mad. You just know who she is. And I think that's what Curtis has been saying for 4 years.
Joined by Boston's number one linguist.
Criminal mischief and arson
have become this kind of tangent. Pete Buttigieg.
Courtney Cox.
Shotsky. Although one of us did.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a sip of the Miller Lite or whatever.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Okay.
Wow.
I know. That's somebody else about the food. Somebody else get booed.
Yeah. I'll take it. Bring it on.
And accompanied by two big brains behind the glass.
Don't put salmonella with your yams.
I'm on Shime Island.
Talk to me, Daddy.
You are both morons.
Curtis and Shime.
Good job, Mike.
Wiggy, can you be honest? The reason you got on the boat is because you heard it was topless?
No.
Now,
let's get down to business.
It's time to party.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Morning.
Good hello, morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning, my neighbors.
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. It's all my people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Greg Hill. Greg Hill. Show. All right.
Woo!
It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Tick, tick, boom.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
What happened? Well, it's Monday, and I would ask the room if we were in Fall River right now with a bunch of diehards, and we were introducing Craig Breslow, what would the reception be? Would it be different than it was on Friday?
It would be.
It would definitely be.
Yeah.
No, because the trade deadline still happened. Yeah. I think that it would be less booze. But again, I've always said I don't put all the blame on Craig Breslow. So.
Yeah, okay. I think it makes them look worse the closer they get to being a championship contending team. Because you had this opportunity where even if they're being honest and they were close to Joe Ryan, they had no second or third plan. So I would compare it to this. Like, you and I go on a road trip somewhere. We're going out to Springfield. And you stay on the Pike the whole way. And I'm like, there's a bit of traffic. I'm going to get on Route 20 for 20 miles. Then I'm going to go back over to this. And I'm going to drive like an absolute maniac and arrive at the same destination.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't mean it's the same thing. It's just introducing a higher degree of difficulty because they could have improved the team. And they chose not to.
Okay. Wait, who is Craig Breslow in that analogy?
He's the guy that thinks he knows the wind shear and goes three different directions.
Okay, all right.
But Curtis, if you listen to Alex Cora, he says that Crochet and Bayo are the second guy, the second pitcher. So
would he say?
Well, I'm just saying, after Crochet's appearance last night, he looks pretty good.
It doesn't matter what they do.
I mean, not Crochet, Giolito.
It doesn't matter what they do the remainder of
sorry.
The-
no, I mean,
that's all right. Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
Giolito had another gem, though.
Oh, I know.
This morning.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter what they do the remainder of the regular season. It's all about the postseason and how deep they get. And then if they lose a series because of pitching, that's when it's going to come back to bite him on the butt. It doesn't, you know, it's all good to sweep the Astros and, you know.
Well, you can't say it like that. I mean,
that's the way it is, though.
No, I think we have to be fair, though. Like, I think you can't say, listen, I think we gave Craig Breslow his just dessert on Friday and it was justified. But you can't say, oh, it's all well and good that they swept the Astros. I mean, that is a really good baseball team, and that is a team that you struggled with the last 2 Augusts.
Right.
And so when it comes to arguing that this team is going to collapse in August and that's what happens.
Right.
And I think you have to you got to be careful.
But
on
it doesn't. If Giolito and Bale roll out gems all the way through the remainder of the regular season and then get into the postseason and they lose because other than Crochet, their starting pitching struggled. It's going to come back to, and but Curtis is right, it's going to come back to people going, Brez, if you would have just did something, yeah. Now Giolito and Bayo wouldn't have had to put all the pressure on their shoulders.
Curtis is 100% right.
But that's a hypothetical.
As he most often is.
That's a hypothetical. You could also say, or they're peaking at the perfect time. Giolito and Bayo are peaking at the perfect time. Crochet's always been great, and they're going to continue to roll into the postseason, and then they all look great.
Right, but if they look great in the postseason, then Breslow's going to be like, see, I told you so.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's not going to matter until the postseason gets here because you know how Boston fans are. They might be like, great move, but as soon as it falls apart in the postseason, myself included, will be like, if you would have just made a move and got a legitimate number two.
If it does. Yeah, if it does. And there's something to, I think there's something to this team where you have guys who, since Roman Anthony got here, this team has the best record in Major League Baseball, and there are guys who seem right now currently to want to win. So a sweep of the Astros, a good baseball team this weekend. You could talk about that all day long. Curtis, what was the vibe on Saturday when you were there?
James improves to 3-0 going to games this year.
No James jinx.
We undersell the amount of opposing fans. I mean, 35% to 40%. Of the stadium was orange Astro fans.
Really?
Astros went up 2-0 early, and the place, you would have thought it was a home run by Connor Wong.
Because Alex Cora went out of his way, I noticed, to talk about the hometown fans and the Fenway fans. And so that's interesting that's...
Friday night, I guess, may have been different, but Saturday, it was outside of a Yankees-Red Sox playoff game, I don't think I've been to Fenway Park and heard that amount of... Everybody around us was in town from Houston. Lovely people. The other thing, interesting pregame notes, because we got into our seats at like 3:40 because James was just wanting to get to the seats. So we were hanging out. And they have these like long-term they have the long-term season ticket holder awards. Like they're really leading into the people that have stuck around with the organization. And everything for like 45 minutes as a sponsor. And many of the people that I worked with are back selling. And I was
The vendors are back.
Yeah, and I was talking to one of them. And he's like, yeah, I'm working without a contract. I'm not a scab. I just, because he'd been there forever. He's like, I need the money. I can't not, work one of these weekends. I got to pay my mortgage. I got to do this stuff. So I don't know what the status is of that. But there were several people that were back to work. Working without a contract instead of people that were crossing a picket line. So I don't know what that means.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's certainly exciting. Mm-hmm. And it certainly is going to be interesting to watch after what did not happen on Friday. Right. And after the sweep of the series and the fact that you sit this morning as the number one wild card team in Major League Baseball.
Right, so, and only three behind Toronto. Do you think it's the fact of the Fenway mystique, though, because I feel like every time I'm just out and about around the city and it's a beautiful weekend, I feel like I see a lot of fans from other places. And you think it's the fact that people put it on their, like baseball fans put it on their bucket list, I want to go to Fenway?
Yes, I think they always have, but in the past they couldn't do it because they couldn't get tickets. Mm-hmm. Because nobody was selling, all the season ticket holders were hanging on to their tickets.
But do you think in this economy, season ticket holders are like, you know what, I go to enough games, why not make some money?
I mean, it could be the economy, it could be their performance of the baseball team or their frustration with the baseball team.
But Wiggy, this isn't like a couple more. This is five times what the normal would be in past years. Like, there was a home run hit, and it was... All you heard was screaming and cheering. If you were getting a beer underneath the concourse or in the concourse, you would have thought the Red Sox had a big hit.
Yeah, so, if I lived in Houston in the summer, I wouldn't want to be there anyway. I'd want to be in Boston, and I would want to be going to Fenway Park. So, I mean, I agree that people are selling the tickets that usually wouldn't, but
I wonder. I feel like it's just Fenway is such this like bucket list place. And, you know, whether it's, you know, Cincinnati fans or you just I feel like when you see them around, they're out and about. I feel like a lot of people, especially summertime, kids are off of school. Like they really say, you know what? Hey, let's go to Fenway Park. And
I've been to a million games in the summer at Fenway Park when it's nice out and there's tourists here. I've never seen that amount of opposing fans.
All right.
Curtis, update on the vendors from a texter. It's actually they are quiet striking. That's a new a new way that you do a strike.
I heard they hired the Tufts RA union.
If you want to text, you can text anytime this morning on the Subaru of New England text line, which is 617-779-7937. Same number to call. If you want to be on the show this morning, and we got a lot to get to, including our leads coming up in just about 15 minutes. And then they said it at 7:20. We will go over what Lucas Giolito said after tossing a gem yesterday. We will go over the what the head coach of the Miami Dolphins said as he continues to try to salvage a would you call it salvaging a relationship with his best wide receiver, or is there no salvaging when it comes to that individual?
That thing's over.
Yeah, that thing is. I don't know how much respect they have for Mike McDaniel down there in Miami.
You don't think they
I think they kind of know, like, yo, he's going to be up out of there after this year if they don't perform well.
Doesn't matter how many jewels he smokes on the sideline.
Yeah,
a wrap.
Is they the, like, you know, oh, he's cool.
So cool.
He's wearing the off-whites. They're
I don't think Tyreek thinks he's cool.
Yeah, he's like, beat it, buddy.
AFC East looking better and better for your Patriots.
Yeah.
I could see them based on kind of the way everything is unfolding. You know, and granted, it's only a little bit in the training camp, but kind of going into it, I felt like they could easily fight for the number two spot in the AFC East. You know, I don't really, I'm not really concerned as much with the Jets, Miami.
I understand because you say that all the time, but it's kind of hard to figure out what the Jets are going to be. Like getting the dead weight of whatever the issue was between Saleh and the quarterback or whatever, getting that off their shoulders, like new regime. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Like, right. But I look at, and I agree with you on that, Greg. Like, I feel like Aaron Glenn is going to do well for them there, but if I had to look, and I love Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields has just got to be put in the right situation. I still think that Drake.
Justin Fields. Wiggy just wants to draft Justin Fields.
I would have Drake May ahead of him. And then when I look at Miami, I think they're going through the dysfunction of the head coach, and I would have Mike Vrabel ahead of Mike McDaniel. So when I look at that at a whole, I said, all right, Patriots have the better quarterback. And
do you have Mike Vrabel as the best coach in the AFC East?
Oh, definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
he wouldn't do what Sean McDermott did against the Rams and blow the game.
Yeah, I think people expect that, but until you prove that you like Sean McDermott, I know he makes some dumb mistakes, but his team is consistently in it. Until
if Mike Vrabel had Josh Allen in Tennessee, he would have at least gotten to a Super Bowl.
Well, I know, but he didn't have Josh Allen in Tennessee.
Right.
So you'll be able to tell this year against Buffalo, but you gotta at least say, all right, Sean McDermott, what he's been able to do, granted people have probably been calling for his head, and it helps to have Josh Allen, but I think that you would expect that Vrabel's better than McDermott.
Vegas has the Patriots a game better than the Dolphins. So
yeah.
It's going to be. Every team wants to start out well, but could you imagine how dysfunctional it'll be in Miami if they go 0-2? Like,
there's a good chance, though, you know, the way the dysfunction's down there with the head coach.
Yeah.
There's a good chance that they could easily do that. And, you know, I think people are like, I'm not really sold. I like Tua, but because Tua's our only option. But I feel like a lot of Miami fans would be like, if you could get us a better quarterback, please do.
Miami, are you ready?
All right. They said it at 7:20. News with Courtney coming up at 7:45. And there's been an incident of incorrect to-go order rage. which I think we probably all dealt with the issue that that is.
Yeah.
When you get the order home and it's not correct, and it can be infuriating. But I don't know. I doubt any of us have reacted with rage.
Definitely not.
And certainly not as in this case, which is from New Jersey, not years later. Like, the rage doesn't linger for years on a to-go order that is effed up.
So. I mean, even if I get a to-go order, I take it home and it's missing a sauce or it's missing a part of the item or it's wrong, I'm not calling to complain.
Some people feel the need to call down there and give them a piece of their mind.
Right, but like, what are they going to do at that point? Yeah,
that's a sauce, though.
But if something's wrong,
if you wanted a chicken sandwich and they gave you
Burger or something?
Oh, no, and they gave you an Italian sub, you'd be like, all right, cool.
No, you
don't like Italian subs.
Right.
Right, so that I guess it depends on how bad they screw up. Right. It's one thing to say, oh, I wanted lettuce on there, and they didn't put lettuce on there.
Well, we should go to the expert on this, because there is somebody who works on this show who's never had food delivered ever in their whole entire life. They're always getting to-go orders.
When I pick up food, if I ever take it home and it's wrong, when I open it and it's an incorrect thing, if I get to go online and argue with an AI chatbot, I do it every single time. if it's to call a mom and pop shop and yell at somebody who made an honest mistake, I don't do it.
Okay.
Because that's not nice.
You're not looking for a half off your next sub or something.
No,
like that,
but if I order from a place through the app, walk in, pick it up, go home, open up my happen to be bowl that doesn't have, you know, the guacamole that I was overcharged for or something, I will go fight with an AI chatbot to make sure I get it for free next time.
Okay. So my other pet peeve with this is when you bring it home from the to-go and something's wrong with the order, there's always one person in the house who says, why didn't you just check it when you were there?
I know.
Which is such a douche
move. Nobody does that.
No.
Nobody.
Especially if it's like wrapped in tinfoil or something. I'm not going to unwrap and open up a burrito that I got to see what's inside.
If it's opened, it's not making its way home.
I just call and then chime. You, if you ever do, I know that you never do it. But if you call and your order is messed up to where you're like, all right, this, you know, I didn't have it this way, you let them know, and then they'll deliver one, your new order, to you.
Well, that's only if they have delivery. Like, I mean, a lot of sub shops don't have delivery, so I don't know about this particular.
A lot of them don't.
No, I don't think. Do they?
No.
I thought they did.
No, I don't.
In your neighborhood?
Yeah, no.
No.
Really?
It's like Uber Eats to get it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sub shops, I'm with you 1,000%. They deliver subs.
All the time.
They always do?
Like every sub shop, Meridian Market delivers subs.
Like where in Southie?
American Provisions.
Delivers?
Yeah. On Uber Eats.
Yeah, Uber Eats.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah, but I think most sub shops even have their own delivery. Like the Coopers in East Boston still delivers. I think.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I always thought like, so if you call and generally if you're in Southie and you call a Southie place, you know, they might say, okay, we'll get your order right and we'll send it over to somebody to deliver it to you.
What happened in New Jersey, which we will get to during the news, is interesting based on the time that elapsed, I think. And Hill Notes. We're going to play your Hill Notes at 9:20 this morning or thereabouts. So leave one of those on the Odyssey app on any topic, including the streaking Boston Red Sox. And other things. And
my favorite part of the show so far is the people of the Twitch chat complaining about us discussing other people complaining, saying it's beneath us.
Wait a minute. Complaining about food?
No, just to like people. Oh. The Twitch chat is 100% negative about the show, and they're saying, why are they complaining about something when it's 6 a.m. on a Monday?
Yeah, I mean, it's a news story. I think it's interesting. I actually give... We'll get to it, but... Mm-hmm. I give credit to the individual on how long they waited. Like, that to me is, that takes
holds a grudge.
Yeah, that is real. I mean,
if you can hold a grudge for a long, long time.
Yeah, that's power.
You just go back to the place.
Yeah.
It's the way to handle it.
All right, let's get to Courtney and to what is trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now brought to you by Shaw's. The Red Sox sweep the Astros in their weekend series, leapfrogging the Yankees to take that number two spot in the AL East. Now they're just three games back from the Blue Jays. 6-1 was the final yesterday with Lucas Giolito going eight innings, giving up just a run on three hits while striking out four. That score brought to you by the Mass State Lottery. Let's make it the best night ever. Grab your friends, pick your numbers, and celebrate the night with Keno and the Mass State Lottery. You must be 18 years or older to play. The Royals now in town for the Sox. 7-10 first pitch tonight from Fenway with Brian Bayo taking the mound. Brooksy joining Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 6:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Over to basketball, where Luka Doncic signed a three-year, $165 million contract extension that brings his salary through 2028-29 to $206.8 million with the Lakers. Pretty good for him. And to the Patriots, they had a little scrimmage on Friday night. And reports were, unfortunately, Shime, and I know you're not over, you know, getting too excited or high or too low. Drake May struggled. Now, it was blue versus white. Joining May on his blue team were Stephon Diggs, Kyle Williams, Kendrick Bourne, Chisholm, Stevenson, and then Austin Hooper. Joshua Dobbs' white squad had DeMario Douglas, Kayshawn Booty, Jalen Polk. We've got Baker, Henderson, and Hunter Henry. So it seems like a split there that you could maybe read into if you wanted. But Drake May, two interceptions in scrimmage.
Yeah, just for context, though, one bounced off of Stephon Diggs' hands. The other, miscommunication with Kyle Williams. They'll work it out. He's a rookie. It's no big deal.
All right, I can live with that. If one did bounce off of Steph Diggs' hand, they should with the interceptions. That's the thing they don't tell you. It should be like INT and then maybe in parentheses. Like
not quarterback's fault.
Yeah, something along 100%. Those lines.
There should be a stat for non-quarterback interceptions.
Yeah.
Well, that was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewarded. Shaw's and Star Market have lowered hundreds of prices on the items you buy most, like boneless chicken breasts, snacks, cereal, and so much more. See full savings claim details at shaws.com/lowerprices and starmarket.com/lowerprices. Shaw's and Star Market, go shopping, get rewarded. That is what's trending. Our leads coming up next.
Red Sox get the brooms out and sweep the Astros, and you can talk about that all morning long and all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. We are going to get to They Said It at 7:20, and then the news with Courtney coming up at 7:45 this morning. By the way, how did Santo do in the Pan Mass Challenge?
Going to be my lead.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, all right. We will save it for then. Did you go down there?
I did.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I went to P-Town yesterday. I'm going to say it all.
Okay, I'm going to say it all.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So you don't want me to be lead forward.
Well, I mean, I love when you're lead forward. Okay. I would leapfrog if you wanted.
No, no, no.
And
we
just,
don't have to.
Okay,
no,
okay.
No, we don't need to leapfrog.
I have a lot
no.
to say,
you,
honestly.
Oh, you right. do?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, all right. Excellent.
Yeah. So that's where he runs, bikes, and swims?
Nope, bikes the whole time.
Oh, okay.
And the good thing is, if Shime does that for his lead, you won't even know anyway.
No.
So it doesn't matter.
Already writing the news. Literally, we'll go in one ear out the other.
Well, we talked about it a lot on Friday, but I just want to thank everybody who came out and hung out on Friday morning in Fall River at Pier 52 and the Tipsy Seagull Complex, and it was a lot of fun in the rain. And then the weekend turned out to be great. I was back down there Saturday for their annual charity event, their poker run, and they raised, I would have to guess, $75,000-$80,000 for the beneficiaries of the Greg Hill Foundation. And it was just an unbelievable event. And they do it right down there and a great time. And we love going down. So I hope we'll get to go back again next year and do another show in Fall River.
Great weather for them, too, on Saturday.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
No boat for you.
No. I don't like going on those fast boats.
Yeah, those things are fast.
I finally got the nuts to tell them. So I just don't like, if I'm not in control, I like,
right. I'm with you on that one.
I don't, I mean, I don't like driving fast anyway. I'm a bit, you know, I'm old.
Well, you drive fast for your age.
Thank you, Curtis.
You're welcome.
I don't often leave the turn signal on, which I'm very proud of.
Oh, what a pet peeve that is.
I feel like, I mean, that's...
Because it beeps and lets you know that, come on, you got to turn this thing off.
I mean, I feel like as an old man, that's an accomplishment. But I mean, I move along there. Don't get me wrong. I zing up and down the highways.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But I don't like being in a boat going 120 knots per hour or miles per knot. I just don't enjoy it. And I don't have any control over it.
No. I wouldn't get in a, like, I would not get in the passenger seat of a NASCAR or some of those people. Yeah. I'm with you. I need to be, have the control of the wheel.
Have you ever done like a pace car? Like at,
where I'm driving it?
No. Where you're in the passenger seat at the pace car. Because I've done that before up at New Hampshire
Motor
Speedway.
But you're not going that fast,
You're
right?
going pretty fast.
Oh, you are? Yeah.
Yeah. I was surprised.
Speaking of NASCAR, seemed like an epic fail by Major League Baseball with that the collab that they did on the game at Bristol over the weekend.
The outdoor game.
Yeah.
It looked cool, though, from the pictures I saw.
It looked cool. They ended up with... rain and had, and so you can't control that. But I saw fans complaining about the food because basically, and this is right up my alley, but basically all they had were like the NASCAR type nachos, not like legit nachos. It was like New Hampshire nachos, like Margaritaville nachos, Curtis.
One of the more offensive things I've ever encountered.
Yeah.
So. By the way, baseball's going to Nashville. That's why this was sort of the test balloon. Major League Baseball. Nashville's going to have a baseball team, I think, in like 5 years.
And they're getting a new stadium, right, football-wise?
Yeah, and they're getting the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They're going to host the Super Bowl in Nashville. I mean, we were there. The city is growing like crazy.
It's a great city.
It is.
Yeah, when they had the draft there a couple years ago and they blocked off like multiple sections of Broadway, that was really, really cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the barbecue place down there?
Martin's. Oh, baby.
Oh, so good.
It is. Great barbecue is some of the most amazing food in the world. When it's great. When it's not peak barbecue, like I understand why people dislike it, but when it is peak barbecue, it is some of the best food on the planet.
Honestly, it just gives me a bellyache. Good or bad. It's like a barbecue to me. Like maybe I'll have a small little pulled pork sandwich. Other than that.
Get out of here. Like,
it's just not for me.
Life.
But that's because we're Northeast and we don't do barbecue well up here. Gotta go down south.
But I lived in North Carolina for 2 years and we went to barbecue a lot. And there
ribs,
was
brisket.
Max was like the big place down there. Everybody always wanted to go to Max. And it was like I'd have like mac and cheese. That was basically it.
The barbecue chicken. The way they do the barbecue chicken wings, the brisket, the ribs.
Martin's barbecue is like
pork.
It's like sex. It's so good.
What does that mean? The pulled pork slaps you in the face afterwards from your perspective?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yes. I just get hit with rib after rib.
Yeah, you get some good ribs.
All right. Well, let's get going on Leeds, if we could, please.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Do I even have to identify that artist?
That's kind of a layup.
Robert Zimmerman, Bob Dylan. I think the Newport Folk Festival was this weekend.
Yeah.
And that whole, were you there, Curtis?
Oh, loved it.
And that whole Bob Dylan film is based on his experience when he plugged in at the Newport Folk Festival. So I actually like that movie. I
You might be the only one. I feel like a lot of reviews
Hated it.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are like...
But maybe he didn't hate it. I think he was like,
"Where's the drama?"
It wasn't his whole life.
Right.
Like I kind of want a movie about Bob Dylan's whole life.
Right.
But for what it was good.
Ken said the Billy Joel thing on HBO is like 3 hours per episode.
Yeah, it's excellent though. But you have to like Billy Joel. I don't know if you would. Do you like Billy Joel?
I do. I mean, I like Downeaster Alexa.
It's 3 hours.
Not enough to watch a three-hour episode.
Per episode.
Yeah, it sounded insane.
It's really good, though.
I don't care.
Makes it really good?
Right.
He tried to kill himself a couple times.
Okay.
Like, legitimately tried to.
All right.
And early on in his career, like, he basically stole his buddies. He was roommates with a guy in the band, stole the dude's wife. And then felt so bad about it that he tried to off himself. His money, he had millions and millions of dollars. He and when he was married to Christie Brinkley, I mean, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, but they were driving around like on some tour of the East Coast, and every time they went into a place like a local restaurant, the people would say, "Oh, I know you bought that that farm over here. That's really cool." And they were like, "No, we didn't. We didn't buy a farm." And so they found out that their manager, who was like his brother-in-law when he was married prior to Christy Brinkley, his manager had stolen like $40, $50, $60 million and was buying all this stuff for himself. So I don't know. If you don't love that kind of thing, it would be too long for you. I think at 3 hours. All right, Leeds brought to you by Subaru. And there's so much to love, so don't miss the Subaru of New England A Lot to Love event. It is going on right now, and you can find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Hello, Shime.
Hey, Greg. Good morning. Football lead for me today because as we get closer to the season, all I want to do is sit, watch, and talk about football with everybody. I did a show this weekend on Saturday, Bragg, with Mego, and she's been at Patriots training camp all along. She's been at all of the practices, and so it's nice to be able to talk to someone who has had eyes on the competition so far, has eyes on the players, seeing how they look, and she didn't really make me feel so great about Will Campbell. And knowing Vedarian Lowe, the backup, is out injured, the more we talked about it, with Morgan Moses and Garrett Bradbury also being injured a little bit now, and Will Campbell's roller coaster ride at training camp, I feel like it's a house of cards, and that never bodes well in an NFL season because guys always get hurt, and when one thing falls, everything falls apart. And then,
does Will Campbell get a chance to play in an actual legitimate NFL game before we deem him to be a failure?
Oh yeah, I'm not deeming him to be a failure.
Huh? Let's be honest.
This drives me up the wall.
I'm not deeming him to be a failure, but
maybe not you. Others are. It's like, and it's because they want to be right on his, you know, tiny little alligator arms. It's like, give the man a chance. Like, give him a chance to play in an actual football game that counts before we determine that he's a bust.
He's going to get a chance because, according to Mego, he plays every single rep at left tackle.
Good. Right.
He never takes a step off. Good. He has to play every single rep because they are trying their absolute damnedest to make sure he is ready to go week one opening day against the Raiders and Max Crosby. Her words were, he has been a roller coaster. Mm. Like, it has been good and really bad. Like, it's been all over the place.
Yeah, you can't
beat that. And so I get nervous. It was good seeing Matt Collins on the field for the walkthrough. I believe that was Friday, which is great. I also think that means one less spot in the wide receiver room has now become taken away. And so I kind of look at it, and I felt that way about the defense too. I think the defense can be really good, but both your corners are dealing with stuff. Christian Gonzalez, we may not see now till week one. Carlton Davis is on some weird maintenance plan, according to Mike Vrabel, that we know nothing about. We don't even know if he's hurt or what's going on there. So it just, everything feels very tenuous at the moment. And once they're on the field, everything will be fine. But right now, in this moment, they have conjured up a lot of apprehension on my
part. Did I see that Friday night Ramondre fumbled the football again, or was that... was that Thursday?
No, that was Friday night at the scrimmage. And then Mayo benched him but still started him.
But to Mego's credit, she did point out that both Ramondre Stevenson, Mike Onwenu, Christian Barmore, three guys she noted, looked in way better shape than expected at training camp. So that period between minicamp and training camp, they clearly took conditioning into consideration, mm-hmm. and they look at least athletically better than they had.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is clearly why you have had them all along at 6 wins. So, thank you. Thank you, Sean.
Never been at 6, but okay, thanks.
Well, they play.
Well, that's what Courtney told me.
Yeah. She doesn't listen to me, Greg, so you should know that she's wrong.
Well, that's a fair point.
Jackson pulled the audio, so.
Were they Friday night?
Yeah, and I would say it would be disappointing. My words were, it would be disappointing if they had less than 7 wins. Was the exact
Friday night. Friday night is statue night.
All right. So maybe we'll get a chance to kind of see. I hope they let him play, but maybe we'll get a chance to see him out there and see if there is something to be concerned about. I mean, I'm with you, Greg. I'm not going to completely look at it and go, okay, this is what's coming out. Oh, he's a bust. It is a little concerning if, you know, he's been struggling a lot,
But I want to at least get to see him in person and what he looks like pass protection wise.
All right. That is Shime's lead. Shime, thank you. We will get to Curtis's lead and to Courtney's lead coming up next. Oh, all-timer from your guy, Bob Seger, Shime. I would let that breathe, but we have leads to get to.
That song is so good.
Oh, speaking of the Sun, can we quickly open up the window world of Boston, WEEI weather window for our weather smoke, Chris Curtis? All right, Curtis, what do you see out there?
Do you want the good news or the bad news first?
I prefer the good news first.
All right. Going to be a perfect day in Boston. 63 degrees, sunny skies, going to be in the mid to upper 80s with abundant sunshine this afternoon.
Perfect. Okay. What's the bad news?
We have no more sunsets after 8 o'clock.
Ah, that starts tonight.
Yep. Well, tonight's exactly 8.
Okay.
So tomorrow.
And then it's downhill from there. Mm. And it'll be snowing in a week.
Yeah.
Well, we have 8 weeks of summer left, like officially. So that's a good thing. And I feel like we've been pretty lucky this summer. I mean, June was kind of a bust on the weekends.
Mm-hmm. July was beautiful.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Hopefully August is beautiful. Are we ever going to go to the switch in daylight savings time? Or are we still kind of...
Is that ever going to happen? I think they're still debating that in Congress, Wiggy. They'll get to that at some point.
I wish they could get the Trump signing all these other things, college sticking his nose in college football. He's over here, he's over there. You think he'd stick his nose in
that one?
That's
the one thing that you want.
Like, come on, let's go.
That's the one thing that you want.
Just a quick question for you, Greg. Given the potential of WNBA's Connecticut Sun
moving here,
do you think that the global warming concern people will be offended by the team mascot?
I would. Will they change the name? I would hope that they would. So Steve Pagliuca,
Pags Group,
has apparently won the opportunity to buy the WNBA franchise in Connecticut and wants to move it here. Mm-hmm. I believe that requires NBA Board of Governors approval because they own the league or what have you. So that may or may not happen.
I mean, I bet it would if, you know, the NBA probably looks at it, even though it's not a great investment when it comes to the money that the WNBA loses, they probably look at it and go, okay, if the league continues to trend in this upward direction, wouldn't it be better financially for them to be in Boston versus
Connecticut?
Wherever they are in Connecticut.
Oh, why the hate for Connecticut? I love Connecticut.
But, I have not no
issues. What do you have against Connecticut?
I got no issues with Connecticut, but Boston is a far bigger city than, where is it located? Is it in, it's not in Hartford.
No, it's at the casino. Isn't it at?
I would imagine Mohegan Sun, given the name.
They don't have a house in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
yeah, so I mean,
you can get a beats when you go down there on the way.
I mean, if you're the NBA or you're the person buying it, wouldn't you say I would much rather it be in a major city versus in some small town in the burbs?
Well, and you could go every single day.
I mean, I wouldn't go every day.
You love the WNBA.
I don't mind it. I think, you know, it's. Mm-hmm. I'll go see Caitlin Clark, and I'll
just be careful when you're walking out there. You don't get hit with an errant sex toy that is being fired from the crowd.
And they love throwing those things.
Seems to be a real problem of late. All right, Curtis. Good morning.
Sex toys.
Your lead this morning, Curtis.
There is a Courtney drop for everything.
Yes, there is. Yes,
terrible. Yes,
this is more of an open-ended question. Okay. You remember during the pandemic, everybody had rollerblades. Those were the craze. People got dogs and rollerblades. Yeah, now they're really? Getting rid of the dogs, and I don't see rollerblades. But the new thing, I cannot go 50 feet at Castle Island without seeing the weighted vest.
Mm. Is this a trend?
What? Oh, yeah. Everywhere.
Huh.
What is the Greg Hill Show policy or thoughts on exercising with a weighted vest?
Seems like a bit of a flex.
Doesn't it?
It's supposedly supposed to like bring up your workout. You know, it's supposed to like double your workout. Yeah. It's supposed to be very good for you.
Yeah.
I don't have one.
You don't?
No.
Okay.
But if I see somebody doing it, I'm like, good for them.
My
Could
thing
never
is,
be me.
I know for women it may be difficult, but for guys, if you're using it, why don't you cover it up with your shirt? Like the exterior weighted vest thing is like, look at me. I'm not just walking. I got 5 extra pounds on my chest.
Probably hot, maybe. I don't know.
Chafing, you know, the vest against skin.
Yeah.
I mean, you could go shirt, vest, shirt.
Yeah, but then that's a lot of clothing.
Or shirt, vest, sweatshirt.
Right. What's a bigger hardo move, the trash bag to sweat more or the weighted vest?
Oh, it's got to be the weighted vest, though.
Oh, really? I think it's the trash bag.
Sweat vest, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. How much are they? Like, are they wildly
good question.
Expensive?
Weighted vest?
Probably
like $60, yeah. I'd imagine.
Guys, I got a deal on a weighted vest. Link in bio.
Curtis, how do you feel about like the ankle weights? If you're walking with ankle weights, or
that's a bracelet.
Yeah, that's called an Irish Rolex. In London. No, that's what it is. I'm telling you. Will tell you.
You can get a hyperwear 10-pound weighted vest for $115.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a hard old move. But
I mean, nowadays, like, forget, everybody's working out like they're preparing to play a professional sport. I'm like, hey, what, you get the weighted vest on, you're pulling sleds, you got bungee cords, what are you getting ready for? Nothing.
Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle.
All right. Curtis, that great lead.
Thank you.
Rest of the leads coming up next.